Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Last year's draft class, Caleb was the first quarterback taken, right?
Yes.
What about 2021 when Trevor Lawrence went first? You taking Trevor or Caleb?
Caleb.
2020, Joe Burrow or Caleb?
Caleb.
Wow, look at that, Debo. 2019's Kyler, you're taking Caleb there. 2018's Baker, you're taking Caleb there. So you probably have to go back to, I'll go to 2012, Andrew Luck or Caleb.
That's a toss-up for me.
Because I thought
Andrew Luck was one of those generational franchise quarterbacks. But I would be real close, but I would probably go with Luck just ahead of Caleb. But right there, 1A and 1B.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the great man himself, Rick Spielman, the 33rd team with the First Pick podcast. And Rick joins us now on The Score hotline. He is the great teacher of football wisdom. Rick, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, it's great to be on. And boy, your research team does a lot of digging. They went way back in the fall to get that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's...
Which I still agree with. I think it's a great pick for Chicago.
See, and that's why you're such a wonderful person to talk to, because you saw this one coming a long time ago. And you know, we were talking about this. The Bears had the first overall pick a year ago, and they traded to Carolina, and lo and behold, they wind up with it again. And we were talking about this idea. If Caleb Williams had come out a year earlier, he'd have been the first pick taken in that draft. And now he's first pick taken in this one. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no. And what chance do you have as an organization to have the number one overall pick 2 years in a row? I can't remember when that's ever happened. So kudos to Ryan and that organization for being able to somehow pull that off. Now, Carolina helped to get the number one overall pick again this year. So it's a little bit of luck involved too, but kudos to them. And I think they've really set this organization up for the next 10 years to be very, very successful.
So what's the next step in terms of the Bears helping develop a franchise quarterback? They've really never done it successfully before. This regime is relatively new, third season for Ryan Poles. If you had a checklist, if you had a to-do list, what would it look like in terms of how to develop Caleb Williams?
Well, I would go and watch what Houston and Bobby Slowick did down with C.J. Stroud. And don't do, in my opinion, how Carolina handled Bryce Young. And I had an opportunity to speak with a lot of people in Houston. And what they said was, and I watched C.J. Stroud in the preseason, and he looked a little bit like a deer in headlights, just trying to get through his progressions and everything. And then they really tailored it back. And, hey, let's get him to master these 15 plays or these 15 concepts, and then we'll continue to layer on as we go through the season. Where what I've heard down in Carolina is they just threw four different systems, the whole playbook, into Bryce, trying to make the checks and everything else. And then just kind of, it's almost overwhelming what they try to do with him. And they weren't as talented of a football team. But I think Chicago has, they already have a game plan. I'm sure they'll tailor some things around and spent a lot of time with Lincoln Riley on how we tailor this offense to make sure Caleb has success. So I'm sure that plan is in place. And I think that with everything they were able to accomplish this offseason and even last offseason, they have a more talented team on paper than Houston did last year at this time. And no one saw Houston coming out of the gates like they did and getting into the playoffs. But I think Chicago is really set up like that and in even a better situation for Caleb Williams because of all the offensive weapons they have around them.
Yeah, and they struck again in the first round. I mean, they've got the number one overall pick, and they get themselves the quarterback, and their own pick was the ninth overall pick. And maybe because of the run on quarterbacks, maybe because of the surprises that were awaiting in the draft, the Bears end up getting Rome Odunze, the Washington wide receiver, at number nine. And you mentioned they've already got DJ Moore. They had given up a fourth-round pick for Keenan Allen, and now they add Rome Odunze, and all of a sudden this team that was bereft of weaponry has got some really good receivers to go with the quarterback, to go with the improvement they believe they got at running back and by getting Swift, and they got a couple tight ends. I mean, it just seems all of a sudden – like Caleb Williams is going into a professional offense.
Yeah, and I think one of the most underrated signings was Gerald Everett from the Chargers because he is another offensive weapon, especially in the passing game. So if you do, you look at bringing Swift in and with Khalil and Roshan, the guys they have in the backfield, I mean, they've upgraded there. They got playmakers all over the field. And I think it makes it easier for the rookie quarterback because just get the ball in their hands and let them go do what they do, to go make the money they make because of the playmakers they are. What Caleb has to learn, and which will be an adjustment for him, is that you don't have to make every highlight throw down the field on every snap. That go ahead and take the checks down and let Swift go get you 30 yards on a screen, or hit the tight end and let the tight ends do their work and get to 20 yards, and you just threw a little spacing route. So I think once he learns that patience and he doesn't have to do everything like he tried to do at USC last year, that I think he's going to have a lot of success.
You know, you look at the Bears with all that weaponry you described, and here in Chicago, people are celebrating. Finally, the Bears have grasped and embraced modern-day NFL football. They're going to be a passing team. And then – you know, Rick, that in Chicago, you got Matt Eberflus, a defensive-minded head coach, and one of the reasons that Caleb Williams is coming into a good situation is because it's a top-10 defense, potentially, with a chance to improve even more. So from the outside, how do you view the Bears in 2024? Is this an offensive football team? Is this a defensive-dominant football team? What's the perception of the Bears now?
No, I think it's a complete football team, and especially – when Coach Eberflus took over calling the defense last year and the way they played in the last, I believe, six games, and what a difference that made him calling, and they've been adding talent. And the trade to get Sweat was huge. I guess if you have to pick one minor hole, I know they traded back up to get Austin Booker, who I think has a lot of talent but just very raw, and it's going to take some time to develop. Can they maybe potentially add another pass rusher? I know they got Walker, they signed from Tennessee, but can they add another pass rusher to go along with Sweat? But what a difference Sweat made in their defense once they got him aboard. So if you look, I don't know if you can say it's offense or defense. I just think on paper, now we all, you know, paper is one thing, and then the game started in September, but on paper, it looks like they did everything they possibly could over last year and this year to not only compete to win the NFC, but should be a playoff team, in my opinion.
One of the great moments in the draft is after the Bears took Torrey Taylor, he got a text immediately from Caleb Williams telling him, you're not going to be able to punt much here, which was very funny. But they did invest a fourth-round pick in the great Australian punter from Iowa. Did that surprise you? Do you like that pick? What's your take on Torrey Taylor?
Well, I don't know if she'd ask me. We drafted a couple kickers in Carlson now after he missed three field goals in Green Bay in his second game in the NFL, end up cutting him. Now he's an all-pro kicker, so I don't know if I'm the best expert to ask on punters and kickers. But I know, like I said, they try to fill as many needs as they could in free agency because they had all the cap space, and they've done that all the last couple years. Aggressive in trades, getting a Keenan Allen, getting a Montez Sweat, trying to fill those needs. And then they only had four original draft picks this year. So probably they identified that as a need. I know I always relied a lot on our special teams coaches to tell us what we need. And we used to send them out to try to identify the guys that they wanted to work with, because I don't know if there's any GM or scout that is an expert in that area. It's like asking me to analyze your golf swing. You have no chance if you're hiring me as your golf coach. So even though I've been trying to get better, but don't hire me as your golf coach. And he does have a big leg and the weather they kick in. So that can be definitely a weapon, if according to Caleb, but apparently it's a wasted pick because they're not going to use them.
Philosophically, though, what is the rationale? Because you look at the Bears, I think fans are more accepting of it because they did move back into the draft and they got the edge rusher they lacked. But when you draft a punter with a fourth-round pick, it's not a sixth or a seventh-rounder, which might be more of a throwaway. What is the rationale for an executive to say, okay, that is a guy that we're going to use, you know, it's pretty high draft pick for a punter?
I don't know, like I said, what was going on. I don't know, because they didn't have any late round picks. Mm-hmm. If they tried to trade back and couldn't trade back and maybe try to take him in the fifth or sixth round. So I don't know all the phone calls that potentially happened, or maybe they just said, hey, we'll just stay here and take this guy. This is the best guy on our board and let's go. And they felt that was a critical part. So hard to judge that because you don't know actually what was going on behind the scenes with calls or trades or anything like that.
You know, what's interesting is you look at that kid and you look at taking him where they took him. You know, I just wonder, Rick, what else this kid can do. I mean, his punting is unbelievable. He can put the ball on a dime. He can supposedly put it in a trash can any spot along the goal line from the 50-yard line. I'm not joking. He's a circus punter. He could get a sideshow job.
You're watching those YouTube videos. They're not all true, everything you see, Molly. Ever since YouTube was invented, that's all you do is watch those damn YouTube videos, and you believe everything you see on there.
But I'm wondering, could this guy, and I'm just spitballing, does he know how to kick off? And I mean, the new kickoff is so bizarre and it's different. My questions are, can the guy hold? Is he a holder? Can the guy do something if he can manipulate the ball the way he does as a punter? What's going to happen with this new kickoff rule, another interesting element of special teams upcoming season?
Boy, the inquiry minds want to know, Molly. You dig deep on all this stuff. You're not just the average radio host out there. You want to know the facts. You want to get down to the answers that – if this guy is a holder or not. Why would you take him a fourth round if he can't hold?
Right.
I'm sure. So I didn't do the tape, but I'm sure he can hold. Usually punters hold him. He's probably a pretty good holder, although I can't verify that because I don't have to go that deep into my new job now doing this stuff. But the kickoff stuff, it's going to be interesting to see how this works, because all these guys that were very – accurate field goal kickers but didn't have a strong leg on kickoffs but were great at placing the ball, whether outside the numbers to the right or to the left, almost like directional punting, I think directional kickoff is going to become critical and huge now too. So it's all up in the air, you know, but as long as this kid can punt the ball into a trash can near the goal line, I'm good with it.
That's a great skill to have.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Rick, so given your expertise, given your background, help us understand.
I don't know if I have any expertise left. I mean, that was about as deep as I can go.
What were the Falcons thinking in taking Michael Penix Jr., and how are they able to defend that choice?
I could understand. I listened to the press conference and the explanation on the future and things like that. But what took, I think, everybody back was you probably knew you were going to be able to get Michael Penix Jr. at 8 back in January. And then you go out and spend the, you know, what, $180 million and $100 million guaranteed on Kirk Cousins. And Michael Penix Jr. is not going to see the field if Kirk stays healthy for the next 2 or 3 years. And I still think after year 3 is when they finally can get a little bit of relief. But when you did everything you did this offseason, signing Mooney, going out and getting Moore from Arizona, building this roster up to compete, to me, in one of the weakest divisions in the NFL, the NFC South, and you put yourself in position to win that division, but yet with the 8th overall pick, there's a lot of significant talent there. Whether I thought they could use an edge rusher, or potentially a corner, or whatever need to help take that team to the next level, and then they took the quarterback. Now, Michael Penix Jr., to me, is a winner and a loser. He's a loser because he's not going to be able to compete for a starting job and may not see the field unless Kirk Cousins gets hurt. He's a winner because he's going to get a contract that's fully guaranteed at about $22.4 million, and he's going to get about $13 or $14 million on signing bonus. So that's a lot of cash to go into one position, and especially after you – now, if it was like at the bottom of the first, you know, everyone wants to say, well, like what Love did with Aaron Rodgers, or even back with Favre and they drafted Aaron Rodgers to replace Favre, that's a little different. But when you're in a top 8 and you just spent that kind of money on a veteran quarterback to take you over the hump, that I think is where everybody got a little confused.
And what did you think of the NFC North opponents, their draft? Minnesota wound up with a couple of good picks in the first round. They got the quarterback of the future. They got themselves a pass rusher. That's kind of making up for players they lost. And I thought a couple of corners for Detroit, they did pretty well. They got the kid from Alabama. And then Green Bay, you know, they always do okay.
You don't think they do good? You just think they're okay?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Is that Bakhtiari's replacement? Is he starting right away at Jordan Morgan?
He's just okay.
Yeah. So I said okay, right?
Okay, yeah. See, why don't you be the analyst and let me co-host with all?
Come on in.
We can call you. Yeah. After the draft, and you can give your opinion.
I'm sure go on about that Potter,
Chicago
buddy.
Land's waiting to hear what you say.
Wow. Well, break it down. What's your take on the NFC North?
I thought the Vikings, I really liked Dallas Turner. I thought he was my number one edge rusher coming off. So they got aggressive to move up, and they had to replace Danielle Hunter, DJ Wanham, with Brian Flores as defense. In order to help that secondary, they have to get pressure on the quarterback. And they were aggressive in free agents, signing Grenard from Houston and Van Ginkle from Miami. The Packers, I can really tell, they went defense and they went to a more athletic defense, especially with Jeff Hafley coming in, the former Boston College head coach, who's their new defensive coordinator. Edge Cooper, to me, was the best linebacker and has the best range and can do all three phases, rush the passer, play the run, needs to get a little bit under control, can cover and pass. And then Javon Buller, to me, the safety out of Georgia, reminded me a little bit of Brian Branch, who Detroit took last year, who had a really good year for them out of Alabama. So I thought they, you know, they had a lot of picks, so we'll see how that all develops. The Morgan kid, I was like you, Molly, just okay on. And then the Lions, they do what the Lions do. They just take really good football players. And two of the biggest needs, especially since Cam Sutton, you know, they had to release because of the off-field issues this past offseason. They attacked it with two really good corners. So I imagine Aaron Glenn's going to be happy, and their defense – their pass defense especially should hopefully improve.
Rick, how did you have the top three receivers that went in the top 10 ranked going into the draft, and which one of those three, based on where they're fitting now, will have the best rookie season?
Well, boy. I love Marvin Harrison Jr. Reminded me of Larry Fitzgerald. I didn't like the way he handled the offseason or the pre-draft process. I thought, and I talked to a lot of teams, and about half and half had Malik Nabers ahead of him. Malik Nabers, to me, is the most explosive with the ball in his hands after the catch. Big-time playmaker. He reminded me he is a better natural receiver, but that type of explosiveness as a playmaker with the ball in his hand, like when we drafted Percy Harvin, except Malik is a much more polished receiver at this point. And then Rome Odunze, who made the biggest jump from 22 to 23, incredible athlete. I think he wins 50-50 balls. He's going to be a big-time red zone threat. The thing why I loved about this kid is his character. And when you hear stories about him staying at the combine, trying to beat his three cone time that he wanted to beat, and the janitor had to come in and kick him out because he had to shut the lights off to, you know, sweep up the floor for the next day. You can't find competitors like that. That's why I love Rome Odunze. I think all three of them have a chance to be really, really good. And compared to the, I remember when we got the Justin Jeffersons and the CD Lamb, that was a pretty good Brandon Ayuk was also out of that draft. So I think all three of these guys have a chance to have major impact for their teams as a rookie.
Great stuff, Rick. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, Molly. Yeah, I'll be looking for that check again, you owe me.
It's on the way. I told you.
Yeah, it was on the way. It's been on the way since the 90s when I was up there.
That's right. You're the best.
Well, I know. I understand that.
You will get yours, maybe not in this lifetime.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Thanks, Rick. I'll continue to pray for Rick. He's my guy. Oh, God, I love Rick. We had a lot of laughs back in the day when he was here in Chicago.
Good stuff.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And then overall, you know, really excited about how the draft went this year. Everything fell into place. I would have never guessed that it would have lined up the way that it did. So we're all excited. A lot of hard work went into it, and it paid off for sure. But now it's time to start a new chapter for this organization.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's the man himself. That is the architect of the Bears draft. That is Ryan Poles. And things did fall very well for them, including getting Caleb Williams. And I'm curious, David, what does it say to you that Caleb Williams comes to the Bears with the number one overall pick, and then a couple of his receivers who are also in the draft go in the seventh round?
Yeah, it suggests that he had little to work with his senior year at USC, and that some of the limitations were not just because maybe he turned the ball over more often than you'd like, or maybe he didn't have the kind of post-Heisman success that you would expect. He wasn't working with a lot. The offensive line didn't protect him at USC. The receivers weren't maybe as good as some people thought. And that contributes to why maybe the numbers were what they were. That said, I think anybody who's watching objectively on tape knew that was part of the evaluation process, knew that was part of the package at USC, and believed Caleb Williams was, you know, one of the best quarterbacks to become available. You could go back to Andrew Luck, as Rick Spielman did. You go back to Joe Burrow, and that's a good debate. But regardless of where he ranks, the Bears have a special player. And I think that all you have seen since they drafted him was that easy confidence and that natural leadership ability. He's walked into the building, and immediately he sensed like – it was almost like he owned the place. People are – looking to him, what's he going to say? What's he going to do? He's texting offensive linemen drafted in the third round, punters that he's not going to need. He's having fun being the guy.
He's already the guy, and he's already welcoming people to Chicago before he's even arrived. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Those are the kind of things you want. Those are the kind of things you need, especially from your quarterback. You want him to be able to balance that natural belief in himself and that charisma with a degree of humility that he's going to need in that locker room that's full of veterans who might be looking at him as still a rookie. So it's going to be fascinating to watch, but it's already more fun.
312-644-6767. We got a lot of people who want to check in. We'll start with Jeff because he's waited the longest. Jeff is listening on the Odyssey app. Thank you, Jeff, for holding on.
Hey, good day, mate. I'm surprised Dustin wasn't on David earlier like a intern wearing a crew neck on a Monday, but I don't think you played deep on that foul or that fly ball. You've got a fast runner on third, and you got the monster behind you. Anything over your head is off the wall or a home run, and you got to catch a ball to keep them from scoring. Now, you'd have been right that if Swanson catches it, that guy doesn't score because he was a dingbat and didn't tag. But you don't play deep on that ball. I'll listen for your
answer. Okay, you're talking about Happer was too.
He'd have had a hard time throwing out anybody from third base, regardless of where he was playing. I just don't know that where he was playing would have changed much. But, hey, it's a good point. Crawley made a good point. I reacted quickly.
You were mean to Crawley.
I was mean to Crawley.
But that's not a habit toward Dustin.
I guess it is.
Charlie is in Plymouth. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, guys. Good morning. You know, I'm excited about the draft. I am. Generational talent. I keep hearing that all the time about generational talent. I watched Caleb Williams, and I'm a Notre Dame fan there, and he didn't do too well this year, but they forgot what he did last year too.
Right.
And I will say this. It's all about how they develop him and how they handle him, because he's got the pieces around him, unlike, you know, last year where the quarterback went to Carolina there, had nothing. And C.J. Stroud went down there. I don't know if it was the head coach that did something for him or their offensive coordinator. I think it was a combination of everything. I'd like to see that here. You kept Matt Eberflus because of the defense. Let's see what he can do with their quarterback, with the guy that I like to see. You know, paint your fingernails, whatever color you want, dye your hair. I don't care what you do. Win. I just want to see the Bears win.
Thanks, Charlie. I think that's a good phone call. And he's right about that. Just
listen, I thought Rick made a great point, which is take the gimmies, right? When you start talking about Caleb Williams in this Bears offense, you got three really good receivers now. You've got not one but two tight ends. You've got a guy that can catch a screen pass. I mean, you don't have to hit home runs.
No.
You only have to march down the field like a competent offense. They should be able to keep the ball from hitting the ground. These receivers should catch everything thrown to them.
And they shouldn't have to play from behind because they got a defense that's not going to let anything get out of hand.
Exactly.
Complimentary football is back in style, I guess, at Hallis Hall. And, you know, the Houston comparison is a good one. I don't think they expected C.J. Stroud to be as good as he ended up being.
Right.
But part of the reason he was that good and successful because I don't think that they planned on winning because of him from day one. They were going to win with him. And there is a slight difference, but you take some of the pressure off of your quarterback. The challenge for Shane Waldron, I think, and maybe it's a great challenge to have, but he's got to keep all three of those wide receivers active, involved, engaged, and happy. Happy is probably less important, but you want to use them in a way that keeps them all equal threats. The good news is that Shane Waldron just did that in Seattle. The last two seasons in Seattle,
yes,
he's had three guys with at least 50 catches, and last year he had three guys with at least 60. Jackson Smith and Jigba, who was a rookie,
sure,
last year, had 63 catches for 628 yards. DK Metcalf, the big guy, the number one receiver, had 66 for 1,114 and 8 touchdowns. Then Tyler Lockett was 79 catches for 894 yards, 5 touchdowns. So you can assign however you want to whoever this DK Metcalf is guy, whoever is Lockett, but you look at that, that's a good sign that Shane Waldron understands ball distribution in a passing game.
We're lucky to get a chance to talk to DJ Moore, and we know what a good guy he is and what a good citizen he is. And the thing about him is he's never going to badmouth anybody. He's never going to complain. He told us that he was a quarterback when he was a little kid and that all these guys were yelling at him about getting him the ball, and he just made a conscious decision that he wasn't going to do that when he moved to receiver. And he doesn't do that, so he's not going to do that. Now, you know, he's an unbelievable player. You're going to want to get him the ball. Roma Dunze is a character guy, and we've heard from him, and I don't think he's going to be moaning about it. And he's coming out of a Washington team that had a lot of different receivers and a lot of receivers that were drafted a hell of a lot higher than the USC kids. And I think that he's learned how to kind of play within a team. I don't know Keenan Allen. I know he's a total pro. Mm-hmm. I know, but I don't know how he's going to feel if he's not getting the ball. And if
contract year.
Well, that's
the only thing that makes you like wonder, but no, he also is known as a guy that is a consummate pro.
Yes.
So you don't think he's going to be a loud receiver that's going to demand the football. This could all be different. We don't know him that well, but it would surprise me based on reputation.
But if you're marching down the field and scoring,
yeah,
I don't know how anybody's going to be complaining about it, right?
I don't think anyone's going to be complaining about it if you're productive offensively and you have the numbers that proves you're scoring more points than you have in a very long time. You mentioned Adunze. How about our interview on Saturday with Bruce Feldman, who,
yes,
when we're talking about Adunze, yes, he's from The Athletic and Fox Sports. He said he was more polished than Caleb Williams when talking about the, you know, public speaking portion of the job, the, you know, the behind the podium in front of the microphone type of a thing. And why that matters is because what we're just alluding to, how they handle the first time he gets two targets.
Yeah.
After losing a game by 10 to the Packers, yeah, say, and he doesn't say anything stupid. Because that matters when you're talking about chemistry and where a rookie fits in the hierarchy.
And you just said it. When you get two targets and you lose, what if you get two targets and you win? I don't think you're going to – I don't think, you know, Davante Adams is going to be calling for the ball if you win a game.
Exactly. It's not the time to be complaining that you're not getting enough touches if your team just beat your rival by 10 points. And it's a celebratory locker room, and you're the one complaining. Yeah, you're right. You know, you need to know your place. You need to keep your ego in check. And it would appear that the Bears do have three real dynamic receivers who understand that.
Yeah, and you know, a texter says weapons aren't everything. It's coaching, and the verdict's out on Waldrop. He is now the man under scrutiny. He is now the guy that has to convince his quarterback, if there is convincing needed, that he needs to get rid of the ball and throw the open guy every time they run a play. And he doesn't need to hit a home run. He just needs to throw the ball to the open guy.
Shane Waldron's biggest message to Caleb Williams in that context is your favorite receiver is the open one.
That's it.
You cannot ignore somebody because you're trying to force the football to Keenan Allen because he had a loud press conference on a Wednesday because he wants the ball more. You don't worry about that stuff. And I don't think Caleb Williams is the kind of guy who would. See, I would almost push back a little bit at the texter, and I understand because of scar tissue in Chicago why, after one failed offensive coordinator after another, you would think that the play caller is more important than the talent. But I tell you, the talent will make the play caller look a lot smarter.
Talent can overcome.
And I will take the Bears' collection of talent over the questions we have about Shane Waldron. The only thing, and I said it on Saturday, I'll tell it again, say it again, he's done this before.
Right.
That gives you a little bit of confidence and belief that he's not going to screw this up now.
I totally agree with you. Mike's on the road. Hey, Mike.
Hello. Hey, I've got a question about the punter. Love the pick of the punter and love Caleb Williams' pick, of course. But Caleb texted that he's not going to be punting a lot, which is funny.
Yes.
But it's also kind of a little mean. And I remember that Caleb, at his pro day, the last thing he did was punt the ball, and he did a pretty nice punt. I'm not sure if it was 46 or 48 yards, but it wasn't awful. It was a good punt. So did Caleb and the punter already meet at a 30 visit or in other circumstances?
No.
Or was this just a random tweet by Caleb that was...
I think you've uncovered something here. I think Caleb is playing quarterback, but he wants to be a punter.
That's it.
And he's jealous of a guy that's a better punter. I think you're pointing something out.
You think so? You think
no, I don't.
No, I don't think so.
I thought Caleb's text was hysterical.
Hilarious.
I thought that the punter will take it as the joke it was meant
to be. Exactly.
And I think it's a very, as you use the word, easy. I think it's an easy personality. It's a wonderful thing to be drafted and your draft classmate, the number one guy taken, sends you a little joke. I'd be delighted to get a text like that.
I would be too. When you remember back to the pre-Jeff process, Ryan Poles said after the dinner in West Hollywood, where they went to where Jay-Z hangs out, whatever the name of that restaurant was. And he said, you know what? The teammates from USC of Caleb Williams don't like him. They love him.
Right.
And they love him because of gestures like this.
Despite the fact that he's a big meanie, as the texter says. Come on.
Hey, listen, the guy invented the bear claw.
Well,
over the weekend. How about that?
He adapted it.
The Caleb claw.
He's adapted it. But I mean, it's not like a lot of people were doing the claw.
I don't think anybody was doing the claw. Was anybody doing the claw?
I think Bear Man does the claw.
Okay, Bear Man's not going to throw for 4,000 yards next year, okay? When Caleb does the claw, it's going to mean a little bit more.
Caleb doing the claw is super funny to me.
It's super.
Because everyone now is you're getting that bear face.
Give me your best bear face.
Yeah. Let's have an attack.
Yeah. All right.
There's going to be a bear attack.
I think it's cool. Listen, it's Caleb cool. That's a new term in Chicago.
Okay. If a bear with the claw were to attack a lion, who wins that fight?
Oh, there's no doubt. It's the bear now.
The giant bear with the claw.
It's so passe.
The lion, they're kind of from different areas.
Lions are kitty cats again.
So if you have a packer, like a gentleman that used to load up a truck and a bear attacks him, how bad is that ending?
Ugly. That's an ugly ending.
He might have a shotgun.
How about
on
the
him
Norse Viking? How about the Viking coming back?
The Norseman comes out and he's standing there. He's got pulls out his sword and then a bear rips him apart.
What accent were you lapsing into there? The Viking accent?
I don't know.
Norseman accent?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. I have no idea what I was doing, but that's fun stuff. 312 644 67-67. It's a bear claw Monday. Well, maybe.
There we go.
Maybe we'll have donuts.
Rawr.
It's that when I hear bear claw, I think of the food. I don't want one of those. Mully and Haw on the score.
The claw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 score.
The claw. All right, so we're talking about Caleb Williams texting teammates and reacting, and he's living life out loud. He's a celebrity quarterback of the Chicago Bears. Get used to it, people. It's great. So he also welcomed somebody playing the same position for him. Will be in the quarterback room on Twitter. Austin Reed is the name of the quarterback that the Bears signed to an undrafted free agent contract from Western Kentucky. And Tom Pelissero tweeted news to that, and Caleb Williams, quote, tweeted, whoa, ha-ha, oh, yeah. So he approved. But, Mully, then you look a little deeper. There's a lot to like about this undrafted free agent quarterback. In some years, we might be getting excited about this guy because he's Tyson Bagent 2.0. 51 starts in college. 51 starts.
That's a magic number.
15,588 yards with 149 touchdowns and 41 picks. He was invited to the East-West Shrine Game, and he was compared to Bailey Zappi.
Wow.
Wow.
He got a Zappi.
And it was also, according to Pelissero, one NFC scouting director said that Zappi might have been a little more polished, but he was in the same bucket with Sam Hartman from Notre Dame and Michael Pratt. And did you see Sam Hartman from Notre Dame?
He got $50,000, didn't he?
He got a guaranteed, I think, $225,000 contract.
He got $20,000 in a bonus, and then he got that contract you just mentioned.
$225,000 for the Washington Commanders, so he's going to spend next season in D.C.
You know what's really interesting is the number of quarterbacks on some of these teams. Like, there are teams that have five quarterbacks, six quarterbacks. The Bears don't. They now brought in their fourth, but they basically, who's their fifth?
They still have Peterman, don't they?
No.
No, Peterman Peterman's gone? Okay,
no,
sorry.
He signed somewhere.
I thought he had like Emeritus next to his name.
Where did Peterman sign? He signed it.
Oh, the Saints.
Yes.
With Janoco.
He's one of like seven quarterbacks.
So they've got Rippon, they've got Bagent.
Rippon they don't have, really.
They've got Rippon, they've got Bagent, they've got Caleb. Now they have Austin Reed.
Caleb, Bagent, Rippon, Reed. I'd go Reed, Rippon.
You think Reed's going to beat out Rippon?
I don't know that Rippon's going to make the team.
I think you think that Austin
could
Reed
could be this year's P.J. Walker.
You know, Austin Reed.
That was just a,
okay.
How about that shot for an obscure reference?
That's an obscure reference. And Austin Reed is spelled R-E-E-D.
Oh.
Although you said he would be better spelled the other way because he is that good at processing things quickly.
Right. Yeah. Reed and React. They were teammates, and they only got one of them.
So you've got Brett Rippon here, temporarily?
Listen, let me tell you something. We were talking about this. I was driving home on Saturday after our conversation, and I was delighted about the punter and spoke with you about that. And I was then thinking about one of the things we talked about were, you know, do they need another quarterback? And we kind of went through the list
we
of
did.
The guys out there.
It's not an esteemed list.
And no, but, it, you know, Ryan Tannehill is the one guy out there that is a NFL starting quarterback that, you know, you could bring in if you wanted to, but I don't know why he'd want to come here. Clearly, he's looking for maybe some playing time. He might go the Joe Flacco route, for all I know. But I was thinking about it, and I kind of decided that, you know, Tyson Bagent is going to be their backup quarterback.
Yes.
That's their backup.
Yes,
if anything happens, if there's any reason for him to play, he's going to play.
They like him.
And they like him, and I think he'll be their backup, and he hasn't been here very long, and he doesn't have, you know, he's not the veteran guy, whatever. He's not going to help Caleb get acclimated to the NFL. But he's a nice enough fella, and I think he'll be their backup. And Rippon, you know, I just don't know what he is.
I don't either.
He's just a bounce around
He's the bridge guy.
That's
Can
it.
I introduce you to the lingo?
He's the Peterman.
The vocabulary, Peterman.
He's your Peterman.
Okay, you know I am a big guy, an advocate for the mentor, the assistant coach / backup quarterback role ever since the days of the Sanchez.
Yeah, you were all over Sanchez.
But I'm going to tell you, I'm coming around on this. After our conversation on Saturday morning, I was thinking, look at how Caleb Williams has embraced this role already as being the leader of this team.
He might not need a mentor.
What's he going to learn from Ryan Tannehill, really? What's he going to learn from anybody who's been in the league? He may know everything already that he needs to know. And he, if not, he thinks he does. Mm-hmm. And that easy confidence isn't something you want to squelch. So if they don't end up with a veteran backup quarterback on their team, on the roster, I'm not going to get all worked up about it. I'm coming around. I'm evolving.
Look at you.
I know. I'm all for the punter.
Who saw that coming?
And I don't need the backup quarterback who's a veteran.
You know what we need, though? We need our guy Brad Biggs.
Biggs
we
time.
Need Biggs' time to break down the draft, to give us secret information that we don't know about, to answer some questions about the depth chart.
Super
frankly.
Secret. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, he was in on the punter before you were in on the punter.
No, not true. I've been in on that punter since he was a construction worker in Australia.
I think that Biggsy took credit for it in a text on Saturday, so I think he was in early.
Well, he can take all the credit he wants, but there was only one man standing alone atop a hill screaming for a punter. No one wants to hear, oh, you can use a punter. But you know what? You can use a punter. I mean, I stand accused.
That was Saturday at 2 o'clock.
It's... Oh, it wasn't.
Okay.
You know, what month was that? I think I was saying that at the end of the year.
Okay. 2 months ago.
Thank you, buddy. It's Molly and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
You got to look at the Iowa punter. I'm telling you.
That guy's unbelievable.
He does freaky stuff.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.